Think of your children pledging allegiance to the maple leaf. Mayonnaise on everything. Winter, 11 months of the year. Anne Murray, all day, every day.
CJUM FM 101.5, running on 100% Canadian volunteer power.
Sookrum's Brewing Company and UMFM 101.5 presents Sunday Sessional, a monthly pairing of UMFM program hosts and musical guests in the intimate environs of Sookrum's Tap Room. Spend a Sunday afternoon enjoying song selections from one of your favorite radio hosts and stripped-down performances from some of the city's best artists while enjoying a tasty beverage or two. This free event happens monthly at Sookrum's Tap Room, located at 479B Warsaw Avenue, but like a rotating tap, each one is unique with a new host and slate of performers. For more information on Sunday Sessional dates and details, visit the event calendar at umfm.com and come join us at Sookrum's.
Tier 2 tickets for the 2026 Winnipeg Folk Festival are on sale now. July 9th through 12th at Birds Hill Park, featuring Icelandic indie folk favorites of Monsters and Men, emotionally powerful songwriter Lucy Dacus, and masked Swedish experimental collective Goat, plus more than 60 incredible acts. Adult four-day passes with camping start at only $390. Youth and senior passes are available, and kids under 12 are free all weekend long. Get yours now at winnipegfolkfestival.ca. Tickets are moving fast, and there are no gate sales. Get your tickets for the 2026 Winnipeg Folk Festival today. Great music from around the world, right here in your backyard, July 9th through 12th at Birds Hill Park, proudly supported by UMFM 101.5.
Hello and welcome to Album Authority. This is the 81st episode of Album Authority, and of course, I am your host, the one and only Album Authority. I am your ray of light, your island of peace in a sea of darkness, and really, you know, that leaves me really with no room to maneuver here with my tie-ins, because today's album is Madonna's 1998 album Ray of Light. Like, I'm not proud of this transition, you know, calling myself the Ray of Light when the album's called Ray of Light. It's not creative, it's not particularly witty, but really I had no choice. Like, come on, the album is called Ray of Light. I always do a little thing there. It's like, it's a cheap layup, you know, like, in some way. And you know, in some ways this album kind of feels like a cheap layup, so maybe it's fitting. And okay, I know that sounds like a criticism, and it kind of is, but it's also just kind of a fact, okay? Like, this album, Madonna's 1998 Ray of Light, is, you know, it's aging pop star. Madonna's 39 when it came out. You know, aging pop star comes out with a slower, more introspective album that has, like, a trending, hip sound. And that's not even saying it's bad, you know? In fact, this is probably, just pound for pound album-wise, this is probably the best Madonna album. And That's a feat, okay? Because Madonna has some great albums. I wouldn't say it's my favorite. I think I prefer Erotica, but I think it's kind of the best and overall most cohesive album of Madonna's. You know, first when I learned about this album months ago, it was weird because if you guys remember, I was getting into or more into rather back into trip hop in quotation marks. And when I was looking at, you know, the most high-rated, down-tempo, and trip-hop albums on Rate Your Music, I was like, what the hell is Madonna doing here? I was like, why did Madonna make a down-tempo album? And I was wondering if, like, maybe in the 90s, everybody was doing a down-tempo sound. But no, it didn't really take off, like, in that way. But Madonna did take the sound, you know, like the kind of the musical chameleon she is. And from talking to the guys at the radio, they kind of had to seem to have, like, a sort of negative view on it. Not that the album's bad, but it's almost like, like I said, they don't think it's necessarily a bad album, but it's almost viewed seemingly with some, like, cynicism. It might be because of the critical acclamation. You know, it was rather beloved, with Slant Magazine calling it one of the greatest pop masterpieces of the 90s, and stated that its lyrics are uncomplicated, but its statement is grand, and Madonna hasn't been this emotionally candid since Like a Prayer. Which, okay, I'm mixed on how to feel about that one. One of the great pop masterpieces of the 90s? Like, that is, I think that's ridiculous, and I love this album. You know, the ever-reliable Rob Christgau called it a great-sounding album, but it but it's just not half bad, and seemed to him to kind of feel uninspired in its writing. He wrote, "Still, it's hard to believe that this synthesis of Hollywood karma and radio-friendly dance music will solve her biggest crisis, her biggest career crisis of all, what the most famous person in the world does for an encore." So you're probably wondering, and I kind of agree with this, if it's, if your opinion is so mixed, Mr. Authority, why are you playing it? Well, the thing is, I was a lot less mixed on this album just a few weeks ago. I really liked it, but it wasn't a super, like, sticky album. Like, it didn't really stay with me very well. And I don't know if... So I don't know if Chris Gow is right. You know, maybe it's just a good-sounding album. And really, its lyrical, cultural significance is rather minimal. But then maybe that's not true. Maybe it has content. Maybe it is that good. And just because of the album's style... Sorry. It is not one that, you know, really lends itself to a sticky pop hook, with it being a down-tempo album, or, you know, having a song that you can hum for weeks. And that's kind of what I'm leaning towards right now. I think re-listening to it these last few days, I am remembering how good the album is, and how these few songs have really, you know, rekindled my memory. You know, and I think a big thing is that not every album has to be great in the same way. I think some are just kind of naturally more memorable than others. Some are just more earwormy than others. And maybe, maybe you're not meant to remember every great album. When you're me, this isn't like a flex. In some ways, it's almost like a negative thing. But when you listen to a new album every day, you're probably not going to remember them all. And maybe that's just cope, but I feel like a more down-tempo, cohesive, you know, real album isn't going to be as memorable as even a worse album with like a big pop songs. Even that the mid songs on it are still like more hooky. You know, I think of like a Virgin, and that album, you know, isn't nearly as good, but it's kind of more memorable to me just because it has the song styles are just lending themselves to be stuck in your head more. And I feel like a lot of times people just kind of make the mistake of associating replayability with quality. And that to be a good album, an album has to be very replayable. And I don't really agree with that. I think there are albums that are meant to be replayed over and over again. They lend themselves to it. And then there are albums that either in their style or in their content are just not meant to be played every week. And this goes for like... very serious albums, as they say. Like, I always thought of that album. Oh, I don't remember her name. Is it like Ignota? That's not how that goes, right? No, I don't remember what her name is. But she made a great album a few years back, but it's like a super heavy album. And it's not, you know, I'm not always going to be listening to that. And I don't think that makes it any less worse. It's kind of like a 3-hour movie and a good comedy, maybe. Well, I'll do that. I'll say that. You know, you can rewatch a good comedy movie and over and over again, but you're not going to rewatch The Godfather that often, or I won't at least. I haven't even seen the third one, which is probably a good thing. But so I think that, like, just because I don't wake up with Ray of Light songs in my head doesn't make the album any less better, because as an album, it's kind of serving a different purpose. It's not trying to be a big pop album, even like a lot of Erotica was. So that's kind of what I have to say about that. Anyways, here is the actual album, so you kind of see what I mean. Starting with Drowned World / Substitute for Love.
promise of you, my substitute for love, my substitute for love. Should I wait for you, my substitute for love, my substitute for love?
That was Drowned World / Substitute for Love, Swim, and Ray of Light, all off of Madonna's 1998 album, Ray of Light. So it was these three songs, the first three on the album, that made me kind of remember, maybe this album is as good as I thought. Substitute for Love is really good. It sets up this great atmosphere. It's a great opening track. You know, it sets the vibe perfectly. It's like a wet song. It feels like drenched production-wise, really kind of setting you up for the album and providing like just a great background to Madonna's vocals and lyrics on here. I really love her vocals on this album. Like, you know, I talked about it before on Erotica, but she feels more withdrawn, contemplative, but you know, here it has a completely different vibe from it to Erotica, which, you know, didn't feel nearly as contemplative as this album. Swim is a great song. The production on the song and really just the whole album is so good. Madonna worked with famous producer William Orbit, you know, getting her English producer cred, and it works honestly really well. Apparently she was trying to work with Tricky before. That would have been so bizarre. I don't know if he would have featured as a rapper on it, but I don't know what the Madonna Tricky album would have looked like. But on Swim here, the vocals are fantastic. The chorus kind of really aligns perfectly on the production. I feel like with this style of album, there's honestly less to say because of that. Like it's a laid back album. You know, it kind of just makes me want to sit down and chill and just kind of get soaked into the production and the atmosphere. You know, Swim almost feels like it could easily be in a movie. Like, it just has that character, that big, important feeling of a song. And honestly, that really might be the genius of this album. I feel like everything on the album feels so large. It feels so big and built up. It might just be kind of the quality of the music, you know, the fantastic building, atmospheric production with Madonna's really good vocal performances. And I feel like that's especially true for the title track, Ray of Light. It's one of the faster songs on the album. You know, it's paced perfectly. Madonna's vocals are way higher, and she has perfect control of them. And I feel like this album just has this character of size to it that maybe and again, this might be a criticism, but maybe it's not living up to that size, but it doesn't need to, okay? Like, and I think I could see why the album has detractors for that reason, because every song feels large, and it's supposed to kind of, it's supposed to be apparently a bit deeper than some of Madonna's other stuff, but it doesn't do that much, in my opinion. Like, it has this amazing production, this character of size and importance, but I don't know how much it really does with that and how much it earns it. Like, I know this is Madonna at a more contemplative level, you know, singing about growing older and meditating and whatnot, but I don't feel like it really emotionally earns its grandeur. But for me, I'm kind of okay with that. You know, I can roll with it. I can accept that maybe this album just sounds good. But it, and if that's the case, that's fine with me because it sounds really good. And if that's all the album has to offer, hey man, I'm cool with that. Like, this album sounds amazing. And I just want to sink into it and live within it for a few minutes. And you know, maybe that's because of my current personal state of life right now. You know, lately I've just been feeling like my head is just empty. You know, the Easter break was probably pretty helpful to not burn out. I'm not even complaining, and like, you know, detonate by the end of April or maybe even into May. But, you know, being honest, my brain was just super empty for like half of last week. And I'm like, I'm a very, I don't know if this really comes across through the show, but I'm a very, restless person. Like, oh my gosh, the microphone is being annoying. There you go. I'm a very, you know, I'm always want to be doing something. I am always doing something. But right now, I'm kind of, or at least last weekend, it's kind of gone back to normal now. But I'm still kind of feeling the lingering effects. I was in a state of, like, not wanting to do anything. And not really in, like, a depressed way either. Just kind of like a relaxing way. Which, you know, is crazy because I am usually incapable of relaxing. I mean by that, you know, by the time I play this album, aka right now, as opposed to when I wrote this, aka 3 days ago, I'll see if that's changed. And, you know, the answer to that is kind of yes. I feel mostly normal now. You know, kind of always wanting to do something every 5 seconds. Kind of normal levels of distracted and lazy. But it was, you know, it was really nice for the Easter break because sometimes I would just be sitting there on the couch trying to work or maybe, like, people talking to me, and I was listening to them, but like when I wasn't listening to them, not like rudely because they weren't talking to me, I just had nothing going on in my head. Like I was at my girlfriend's Easter family dinner, and normally I actually really enjoy those, but normally I'm pretty active. I'm talking to people. I'm always getting myself in a conversation. This time I was literally just staring at like the wall and just repeating a Family Guy clip in my head over and over again, and I was perfectly at peace with this situation. Like this was not a negative repeating a Family Guy clip moment, you know. And I've had negative repeating a Family Guy clip moments in my life, but this was nice. And really, I feel like, you know, what I'm saying is that's what this album is all about. You know, it doesn't really want to make you move or do anything, but you know, you want to sink into it. You want to really just get soaked up in it, and you don't want to think. And you really, you know, I think Robert Christgau, he's thinking about it too much. Because at its core, this is a head-empty album. And just take in the vibe, man. Not to sound like a hippie, but just live in it. Just feel the vibe and feel how good it sounds. Because the production on this album is great. And, you know, so what if it's Madonna hopping sounds by using a great producer? She does it really well, and I'm okay with that. And, you know, sometimes you wanna run around. You want to have a... Run around is a weird way of saying it. You want to have a crazy, crazy experience. You want to go out and have a crazy night. This sounds like a guy who's never gone out in his life. But sometimes you want to make memories, right? And have a really cool experience. But sometimes you just want to sit there and repeat a Family Guy clip over and over in your head. And there's other albums you can listen to get a crazy, life-changing album. But there's also this album that you can listen to and just play a Family Guy clip in your head over and over again. And again, this sounds like criticism, but it's almost not. Because I think, you know, there's times and places for different sounds and different styles of music. And this isn't an album that lends itself to very intense listening. And honestly, I feel like half the time that's how I listen to music. Like, I'm not really proud of this fact, but of all the art forms that I consume, music is the one I probably do so with the least intentionality, because I just always kind of have it on while I'm working. You know, I don't have a movie on while I'm editing a paper. But so I think in a lot of ways this show can be helpful to actually think about it. But this is almost like the inverse of that. Like, trying to think about this album made me think about it even less, if that makes sense, because I just realized the true nature of the Family Guy clip energy at play here. Anyways, here's more of Ray of Light with Shanti/Ashtangi. There you go. Once again, this is off of Madonna's 1998 album, Ray of Light.
Oh. not open. You're so consumed with how much you get. You waste your time with hate and regret. You're broken when your heart's not open.
That was Shanti / Ashganti, Frozen, and The Power of Goodbye, all off of Madonna's 1998 album, Ray of Light. So Shanti apparently is a Hindu prayer sung over like just the repeated rhythm there, and apparently is all sung in Sanskrit. Obviously, I say apparently because I do not know. Cannot read nor cannot speak Sanskrit, sorry. And I mean, you know, I had an idea. Like, I figured it was from India. You know, it gave the vibe. It gave me, you know, Beatles after they went to India vibe. You know, real, like, white person goes to India for the first time feeling. And I mean, you know, maybe it's really cool, but maybe I'm just too a bit cynical to it. Maybe it's because it's 2026 and not 1998. I included this song because it's part of the album. And apparently a lot of the album, you know, has more spiritual themes tied to it. And apparently this is because Madonna embraced a form of Jewish mysticism called Kabbalah. I have absolutely no idea what this is. I've been trying to figure out what this is, and I am just even more lost. Listen, you know, I think Jewish mysticism might really be beyond the scope of my authority here. I'll be honest. I think I will delegate this to the whole subject. I think I will delegate it to the Jewish mysticism authority here at the UMFM, which I'm sure we have. But apparently, though, you know, I'm going to take a crack at it, okay? Okay. So apparently, though, above all, Kabbalah is a set of sacred and mystical teachings meant to explain the nature of God. So God, to Kabbalists, you know, has two aspects, okay? He has his essence, there's God in essence, and there's God in manifestation. So apparently, you know, basically, God is limitless, right? He's unified, no Trinity action here. Ooh, I almost swore. It's one God, okay? But God, and he's perfect, right? But God, you know, he manifests himself through humanity, through his emanations. Well, what's an emanation, you're probably wondering? Well, an emanation is an abstract but perceptible thing that issues from the source. That being here, in this case, the divine and limitless God. So through the manifestations of God, you know, in humanity and other realms, we can understand the essence of God, otherwise known as the Godhead. So basically, there's different type of emanations here, or rather different structures of emanations. So first, we got the classic Sephirot, which is 10 emanations, and attributes of God, which are revealed in different ways. So this is really complicated, but basically, you know, there's like through a process of ethics and stuff, you can emanate God and sort of become closer to God. There's also the classic descending spiritual worlds, right? We all know the four spiritual worlds. Basically, there's like four realms of being descended in a chain of being. You know, there's emanations. Of course, we all know, we all get the emanations. They come straight from the source. We got creation. We got formation. I don't know what that is. And we have action, which is the physical world. So we live in the world of action, right? And it's through these emanations, through the different layers of the universe, that we are close, that we can understand God in his essence. Apparently, there's a connection to Cathars. Cathars, of course, being, as we all know, a heretical sect of Christianity, a Gnostic sect of Christianity that was killed or was crusaded against in the 13th century. Both, and apparently there's a connection to Kabbalah and Cathars being geographically. They were both really concentrated in southern France, and also in ideas. Honestly, I have no idea what I'm saying right now. I have no idea what this means, except it definitely is a form of mysticism. Which, you know, through divine practices, being closer to God and everything, you know, you can maybe understand the spiritual world that we all live in. Worlds, plural. All that being said, alongside Madonna, Madonna's apparent studies of Buddhism and Hinduism, there's a big influence on the more reflective parts of this album. Oh, and Kabbalah also had, if you can imagine, a really big impact on anti-Semitic conspiracy theories. Actually, the word cabal, you know, a shadowy group of people united to spread their aims, is directly from the Kabbalists and medieval Christians, you know, not thinking, as you can imagine, very highly of Jewish mystics and magic. I mean, they literally crusaded and killed or forcefully converted all of the Cathars, who were Christians. So I don't think they were going to think very highly of the Jewish mystics. So yeah, I don't know. Do with that what you will. There's no real lesson here about Kabbalah, except that Madonna practiced it. I don't even know what it means to practice Kabbalah. I don't know what she believed. I don't know what spiritual world. I don't know. I went down a rabbit hole, and I learned nothing. And I think mysticism, what I really learned is that mysticism is not something that you can easily explain. Yeah, so do with that what you will. That being said, all the other songs I played are great. Frozen is probably the best song on the album. You know, and the masses seem to agree with me there, with it having the most streams by a lot. It feels so thick. It's such a dense song. I think the Madonna humming, the creates like a perfect feeling to just kind of fall into. You know, maybe it's the hum of the world of emanations. I don't know. Maybe that's an emanation itself. Who knows? But, you know, the power of goodbye is similar. I feel like it feels more of a conclusion. It has a feeling of ending something. Honestly, I really like this album, but I do feel like the album could have been about 50 minutes long. It could have caught out about the last 15 minutes. I think ending with the power of goodbye, it would have been a bit on the nose because it literally says goodbye. But it has a very, again, a movie-like feeling. It feels like a credits song. And I feel like ending there would have been great. You know, maybe overall, I think the album is really good. It's not a dud. I guess I could see why you could be so cynical towards it, but I just lighten up, man. Like, come on, man. It sounds good. It's a great album. The humming is great. Maybe Madonna's going to India for the first time style, and Jewish mysticism is a bit out there and lame, but not Jewish mysticism being lame. I have no negative opinions on Jewish mysticism, but Madonna's, you know, whole exploration of it being a thing. But whatever, man. You only know that because you heard the album Authority talk about it. You wouldn't even know what Kabbalah is if I didn't tell you. And I didn't know what Kabbalah was until yesterday. So, it's Madonna, man. Just, like, just listen to it and just groove. Just sink into it, enjoy it. And yes, the guy with the whole show talking about albums is telling you to think less of an album. But whatever, who cares anymore? And if the album Authority is saying stop thinking about an album, listen, I've tried to think about this album. It's not worth thinking about. It's a great album. That's not even a knock on the album. Just don't think about it, man. It's all I can say is it's Madonna. Just lighten up. If you're Rob, this is a message, direct message to Robert Christgau, legendary music critic and rock critic who will never hear this. And you know, I am really threatening his overall status. But just lighten up, man. It's Madonna. Just learn about some Kabbalah and learn about the Cathars. And, you know, at the Winnipeg Library, we have the Gnostic Bible. You can even read the Gnostic Bible if you want. It looks like 600 pages or something, but whatever. That's it. That's all I got for you guys. Here's some Canadian song of the week. This is Always, a song I haven't heard in years. Here's Not My Baby off of their 2017 album, Antisocialites. And thank you all for listening to Album Authority.
UMFM. You guys just sit around all day, playing your music, going to your wild parties, while your grades just slip by. You're irresponsible, good-for-nothing goof-offs. I've got my eye on you.
Help us fight the evil, bitter old Dean. Listen to CJUMFM, broadcasting to the city of Winnipeg and beyond at 1200 watts.
Warning, the following may contain naughty words or ideas. If that makes you nervous, check back with us later.